Well, good morning once again. Listen, if you haven't seen that movie, I can only imagine it is amazing. It is amazing. So I really want to encourage you to come out for our July 6th movie night. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? 9 o'clock, are you awake yet? Amen. 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 Listen, before I get into the word, I just want to mention just one other thing that we have coming up, an exciting event. We have what's called Serve Day, and that'll be taking place, July the 28th. We're going to do it right here at the Atlanta campus. We are also launching our food pantry that day. So we're going to have a mobile food pantry. We just want to give away all the food. Amen. And then in conjunction with that, we're going to be doing a backpack giveaway in partnership with the Brookview Elementary School. And I think we also have it's called Woodland Middle School. Is that right? Woodland. I think Woodland Middle School is going to be a partner with us as well. So we're going to be looking at doing a backpack giveaway. So if you want to participate as a volunteer, you can sign up online. You can sign up on our Chapel Hill app, or you can sign up out at Guest Services to be a volunteer for Serve Day. It's going to be amazing. In addition to that, if you want to give to the backpack giveaway, this $10 will essentially fill the backpack for one of the kids. So if you want to be able to do that, I'll tell you more about the time during the time of our giving of our tithes and offerings, how you can participate in that. All right? Well, listen, before we get into the word, let's pray. Invite the Holy Spirit to have his way. Holy Spirit of God, we honor you in this place. We thank you for how you have already begun to move in our midst. Lord, we ask that as your holy word is opened, Lord, let every heart be open to your truth. Let every eye be open to see what you reveal. Let every ear be in tune to hear what you would say. Lord, give us a divine encounter with your truth today. Jesus, you said, my word is truth. Lord, let us embrace that truth. Let us walk in that truth, and let that truth transform us and make us more like your dear son. And God, we'll give you praise. We give you honor and glory. And every believing heart said, amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to begin today's message with a pop quiz. See, I know all of you students, you've been missing school. You're like, man, I just can't wait to get back, right? Isn't that what you've been saying? Can't wait to get back to school. So I prepared a pop quiz just for you. And this pop quiz is for all of us to determine whether or not we find ourselves in today's message topic, which is called time tension. Somebody say time tension. We're closing out our Do Less, Be More series with time tension. So I've got a quiz that I want to ask you. It's the time tension quiz. So it's a yes or no answer to the question. So just keep a little tally. See how many yeses you get. See how many no's you get at the end. We will tally it up. So number one, yes or no, have you ever eaten a meal while driving? Okay. All right. You know, 40 years ago, that was like unheard of. Nobody was eating and driving. People were sitting down at tables. Number two, how many of you have ever put your makeup on, tied a necktie, or shaved while driving to work? Yes or no? Now, if you did all three of those, we may need to have a little conversation at the altar at the close of the worship experience. Number three, when you see a yellow light, is your normal tendency to accelerate instead of braking? Oh, man. Listen, you know, I'm always in a hurry. I always got stuff going on. And those yellow lights, it means accelerate. But don't tell my son that I'm teaching to drive that. Ignore what you heard. Forget about that. But there was this one time man, I was really late, and I was looking at the light. The light had changed. It was changing to yellow. It had been. I was like, man, I can make it. I can make it. So I just hit the accelerator, and I was like, man, this is terrible. I hope there's no police around. I know it's going to be. It went. It turned red just as I was going through the intersection, and I was like, oh, no, this is terrible, only to look in my rearview mirror. And there was three cars behind me going, go, 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 go. I mean, everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry. It's just crazy. Number four, how many of you have changed clothes while driving from the office to the next event? That's a shame. That's a shame. Now, I've been there too. Now, listen, I just need y'all to know, if I ever die in a car accident and I'm half naked, somebody needs to explain what was really going on, okay? All right, what else? What else we got? And so, number five, have you ever thought during one of my sermons, how much longer is he gonna go on? Don't even respond. Be nice. Just be nice. Number six, have you ever read the cliff notes for a report or a test rather than reading the entire book? It ought to be all kind of hands going up over here in the studio. Come on now, tell the truth and shame the devil. Number seven, have you ever cut through a gas station to avoid getting stuck at a red light? Some people are praising the Lord about that. Number eight, do your children think their first name is either come on or hurry or let's move it? Or in my house, you're gonna get left. Okay, so let's tally up your results. If you had 0 to 2 yeses, we need to make sure you actually have a pulse. Or 3 to 4 yeses, you're probably normal in this fast-paced society. Or 5 to 6, you are flirting with very dangerous habits and you need to listen very closely to today's message so you can slow down. Now, if you had 7 to 8 yeses, you can join me as I go to the support group later this afternoon. Just come on with me. Just come on with me. We'll get better together. See, this series has been about doing less to be more. Overcoming the busyness trap is what we've been focusing on. And I hope over these last several weeks, there have been messages, there have been topics that have spoken to you in such a way that is helping you overcome this trap called busyness. I want to encourage you to maybe review some of the messages on the Chapel Hill app or go online and listen to some of those messages. You can search for the Atlanta campus and listen if you want to hear those taught here, or you can listen at some of our other campuses, some of our other incredible dynamic teachers. Now, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15 through 18. We're going to take the New Revised Standard Version. It begins, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil." Other translations say making the best use of the time. Some say making the most of every opportunity. Others say redeeming the time, which literally means to buy back every precious moment that God has given us, buying it back from the course of the world, buying it back from the influence of evil. And then we pick up at verse 17. It says, "So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." See, the truth is that oftentimes, as much as we complain about being busy, some of us really enjoy a hurried life. You know, sometimes we wear busyness like a badge of honor. Somebody come up to you and say, "How you doing?" And your response is, "Busy." That's not an emotion. And then we go on to talk to them about all of the incredible things that we have going on our schedule. And then we get into this one-upsmanship. Oh, you think that's busy? Oh, that's not even busy. Let me tell you about busy. Let me tell you what I've got going on. And we wear busyness like a badge of honor. Don't we do that? Yes, because it makes us think that we're doing something. Because we're doing something. But sometimes we're doing something and we're doing nothing. It's just the reality. See, you know, for years, America has worshiped at the shrine of the golden arches, McDonald's. See, not because they sell good food or even cheap food, because it's really not that cheap, but because it's fast food. But even fast food wasn't enough. We had to create a drive-thru. We create a drive-thru because going in is still too slow. We create a drive-thru so that we can have dinner with our family in our cars and in our trucks and in our minivans, just like nature intended. We got a member of our church, David Daniels. He's a Chick-fil-A operator, and he says that 64% of his business comes through the drive-thru. 64%. So some over 30% of the people aren't even going. Only about 30% of the people are going into the restaurant. And here's what I know. Even that 30% are not going into the restaurant to sit down. They're doing like I do. They go into the restaurant to avoid the drive-thru. Right? I mean, I did that just the other day. I was in such a hurry to get something. You go to Chick-fil-A, and it's always crowded. Always crowded. I mean, you can't even get in the parking lot. I parked in a whole nother parking lot, walked up the hill through the shrubbery. I was in a hurry. I didn't have time for the drive-thru. So I walked up the hill through the shrubbery, weaved through the cars, tried not to get hit. Go in there. There's nobody inside. Get the food, weave back through. I mean, everybody is in a hurry. Tell somebody, slow down. See, Jesus covers a lot of topics in the Sermon on the Mount, but right on the heels of his telling his audience not to worry, he goes on and says not to hurry. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Did Jesus just call us pagans, y'all? And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, time tension happens when we create a schedule that causes us to always be running after things. I mean, 150 years ago, if a person missed a stagecoach, they just go back home, wait 3 or 4 days. Mabel, we missed the stagecoach, honey. Let's just go on back to the house, sit on the porch, drink a glass of tea. 3 or 4 days from now, another stagecoach will be through. But today, listen, if the internet is not fast enough, if you have a video that buffers for 5 seconds, you're like, this is terrible internet service. What kind of service is this? I need, who you have for your provider? Because they're not serving me well. Am I right about it? I mean, we get upset. Does anybody even remember dial-up? See, there should be no one other than my wife and I in my household to raise their hand to that. My kids don't even know what a modem sounds like. They used to have a sound. You remember that, Patrick? But the reality is that a hurried life, I mean, it usually exposes itself in one of these interesting places, like behind the wheel of a car. And it can be dangerous behind the wheel of a car. It exposes itself in the form of driving and texting and answering calls and checking email. The governor is helping us out on July the 1st. Y'all know about that, right? It's called the hands-off policy. Now, it doesn't mean hands off the wheel, y'all. It's hands off your phone, off of your devices. You know, I came across a funny story this week. It's about an Uber driver driving in the metropolitan area. He came to a red light, and the Uber driver sailed right through. The passenger says, "Hey, man, that light was red." The Uber driver says, "Don't worry, my brother, he does it all the time." The next light he came to, it was red, and the driver plowed right through. The man yelled, "Hey, are you trying to get me killed? Oh, no, don't worry about it. My brother does it all the time." The next light they came to, it was green. And the Uber driver slammed on his brakes. The rider said, "What's your problem? The light's green now." The Uber driver said, yeah, but you never know when my brother's coming. If you didn't get it, just somebody next to you, they'll tell you about it at the end of the service. See, in Ephesians 5, the Holy Spirit moves on Paul to pen a paragraph with this, maybe almost, in my opinion, like with this last message of the series in mind. See, God wants you to be more, not do more. Work harder, not try harder. Not stay busier, not run faster to ultimately end up being less. So in this passage, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write something that speaks exactly to this point of time tension. I want you to notice some key words as we go back to Ephesians 5 and verse 15. It says, "Be careful then how you live or walk," some translations say, "not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil." Note that statement, "be careful." Or some versions say, "look carefully." See, that word, it means to have eyes to see, to notice things, to pay close attention. About what? How you spend your time. Pay close attention about what you do with your time. I mean, time is the most precious, limited, and constantly expiring commodity that we have. I mean, imagine a multi-billionaire on his deathbed. If you came to him and said, "Hey, if you would trade me some of your billions for some of the time I have left, would you make that deal?" I bet 100 times out of 100 they'd make that deal. Why? Because time is this precious commodity that is constantly waning away. The Apostle Paul tells us that we must have eyes for how to use our time, for how to manage our walk. One version says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." See, that word "walk" has a prefix in the Greek, peri, which is the prefix to perimeter. So as you are walking about the perimeter of your life, think about how you're walking. Think about where you are walking. Think about what's on your path. Be deliberate and intentional about the paths that you choose. Amen. See, Apostle Paul is calling us to be wise. He's calling us to evaluate what is the wisest use of my time. But he says, walk. Not run. If you run, you might miss something. If you run, you might take a step in the wrong direction, and you've gone so far before you even realize how far you've gotten off track. So walk with intentionality. See, if we're going to be in a hurry to do something, here's what I think we should be in a hurry to do. We should be in a hurry to see broken people healed. We should be in a hurry to welcome people into a relationship with a life-changing Savior. If you want to be in a hurry about something, be in a hurry about that. The Apostle Paul continues to write, verse 16, he says, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Do I have to convince you that the days are evil? If I don't convince you, it only takes about 30 seconds on MSNBC or CNN or Fox News. It didn't take any time to realize the days are evil. So I want to give you two simple truths about how to manage our time. Because first of all, we need to know what to do with our time and what not to do with our time. So the first truth I want to give you is this. Number one, know the worst use of your time. If you don't know what the worst use of your time will be, you won't be able to appreciate what the best use of your time will be. So let's talk about the worst use of your time. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, it says, so do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So verse 18 is telling us the worst use of our time is when you live your life in debauchery. Another word for debauchery is dissipation. So the word debauchery, it means this: excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Also living in a way which depletes your own resources. Excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. In other words, if you live in dissipation, if you live in debauchery, you won't be more, you will be less. That word dissipation is a word that indicates the depletion of your resources. The Apostle Paul is saying, don't live in such a way that your personal and spiritual and material resources are depleted, or emotional resources are depleted. Don't do the things that deplete you. Don't use your time, your precious limited time, for those things. So the worst use of your time is when something is causing you to be less for Christ instead of more for Christ. That's the worst use of your time. And especially in this text, if we allow ourselves to be drunk with the cares of the world, not just drunk with wine, not just high on drugs, but consumed by things that are all material, consumed by things that are non-spiritual, consumed by things that don't bring you closer to Jesus. He's saying, don't let your time be focused on such things. Why? It's debauchery. It will deplete you. It will rob you of purpose and destiny and opportunity and benefit to yourself and to those around you. It'll rob you. See, it's an interesting thing when you start to look at some of the Greek with these words. This word dissipation, it's the Greek word sozo with an A in front of it. And now, many of you might have heard, if you've been in church a little while, that the Greek word sozo is the word for salvation. It's the word that indicates our salvation in God, the word that indicates our redemption from the power of sin. But dissipation is not sozo, it is a sozo. And whenever a is the prefix of the word, it means that what follows the a is the opposite meaning. So a sozo is the opposite of salvation. Like atypical, not typical. Amoral, not moral. Asozo is dissipation. It's debauchery. When we live in debauchery, it robs us of salvation. It robs us of the saving relationship that Jesus died to give us. Which is why the message of the gospel is a message of repentance. It's a message of recognizing that the direction that you're going in is a depleting direction, a direction of death. And it is a message that says, turn from that, or literally change your mind about it. See it for what it really is, not for how it might appear. So the worst use of your time is to spend it in doing things that are the opposite of walking in sozo. So we need to know that the worst use of our time is anything that makes us less for Christ. Now, here's the question. What is that for you? Pregnant pause for you to ponder. Like, what is that thing or those things or those people or those situations or those activities that actually deplete you, that actually cause you to live in a manner that is opposite of the gift of salvation? What is that for you? It's an important question. Because if we are unable to identify what those things are, then how can we change them? You know, Jesus says something really dramatic in Matthew chapter 5. It's not going to come up on the screen, but I want to read it. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that sounds pretty extreme. What he's saying is, if there's anything that takes you off of the course of living in the life that God intended for you, stop it. Tell somebody, stop it. Just stop it. In fact, he says, get serious about stopping it. Get so serious that if you have to cut your hand off, if you have to pluck your eye out. Now, let me just be clear. I don't want to see anybody rolling up in here next week with patches. And I don't want to see anybody coming in here with a bandage on a hand. It's a strong metaphor that he's using. What he's saying is, do whatever it takes. Be willing to do whatever it takes to live in sozo. Do whatever it takes to be able to live in relationship that is life-giving and not depleting. Do whatever it takes, even if it looks crazy to someone else around you. Can I give you a quick example? Let me just keep this thing real quick. I didn't even intend to share this story. But when I got saved, I was 21 years old, was just graduating from college, and I was just used to doing my thing. All of my things. And then Jesus got a hold of my heart and he opened my eyes to see that the path that I was on was self-destructive. Not only was it destructive for me, but it was destructive for some people that I was in relationship with. And he got a hold of my heart. And one of the things that I had to do was pull away from the ladies. And so if I engaged somebody and maybe we went to dinner or something and they say, hey, can we go back to your place? Oh, no, 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 and no. Because I know Jamal. And I'm not even going to play with him like, oh, yeah, oh, we just going to have some coffee. Oh, we just going to watch a movie. Oh, no, it will not go down like that with Jamal. And I remember, they're like, what's the big deal? Oh, listen, I'm just telling you, I know my limitations. And that is one of them. So that is a boundary. And it was weird. You in your early 20s and, you know, and they're like, you don't have anybody at your house? Oh, no. Do you know that no woman came to my house until I married that one right there? It was a 9-year. They didn't even know where I live. Are you like secretly homeless or something? Because, no, I'm just not stupid anymore. So Jesus is just saying, do whatever it takes. Amen. Do whatever it takes, because you have to pay attention to what you do with your time. So second simple truth number two, as we get ready to close, is know the best use of your time. First, you have to know the worst use. Secondly, you must know the best use. So let's go back to Ephesians 5:17 again. It says, so do not be foolish. Say, do not be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. See, that's part of what we're doing today is we're looking in his word and we're talking about what his will is. And his will is to bring life to you. His will is to infuse energy into you. His will is to infuse purpose and destiny and salvation into you. So we have to learn to say yes to God's will by discerning God's will. Now, it's difficult to discern God's will if you're real busy running here and there. So what does this do? This takes us all the way back to week one of our series, Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I hope that you're building in some quietness into your schedule, building in some time to be quiet and to reflect before the Lord, building in some time to pray, building in some time to read your word, sitting before him and not rushing off into the day without taking time to discern his will. What are you saying, God? What are the things ahead of me today that I need to watch out for? Do you know that there are traps ahead of you every day? I mean, you may not realize this, but let me just remind you that the scripture says clearly that the enemy, Satan, that he roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Trust me, you are on his daily menu. You're on the day, he's thinking, man, I can roast that up and I can chew that up. And he's got a plan to get you caught into a trap, into a pit. But stopping and taking time will help you discern God's will. So again, what is the best use of your time? Really, if we ask ourselves this question, is there really anything more important than worshiping God and caring for our families? Is there anything really more important? But here's what ends up happening to us. Sometimes the enemy keeps us so busy, so drained, so exhausted, that at the end of the day, all we have for the most important things, God and the most important people, our family, is leftovers. Guilty. Guilty as charged. And see, there's a name for that. It's called sunset fatigue. Meaning when the sun sets, you got nothing left for anyone or anybody. And our family and our life, our family life and our worship life, it takes the biggest hits. You know, one of the things that I remember that's really impactful about some of my times spent as a missionary is I've been in countries where people have very little in the way of possessions. See, they're people who are possession poor, but time rich. Because oftentimes they don't have the means and the resources to distract themselves with all of the things that wealth can provide. So they have few possessions and lots of time for one another. But here we are in this country, and we are time poor, but possession rich. Time poor and possession rich. I mean, I can't even count all of the devices that we have in our house, from phones to tablets to TVs to computers, and I mean, just stuff. All kinds of stuff. Yet we run around like chickens with our heads cut off. So I wonder if Jesus was making a point in Matthew chapter 6. I mean, what point do you think he was making? Do you think he was encouraging them when he said, hey, the pagans run after all of these things? What do you think he was encouraging them to do? To be people who were possession rich and time poor? Or maybe, just maybe, you think about it. Maybe he was saying, hey, even if you find yourself possession poor, don't be time poor. Can we flip that script? Can we change that in our own lives? I think we can. I think if we do, I think if we're conscious about it, I think if we're intentional about it, we will begin to make the best of the time that we have. Let's close with this passage from the Apostle Paul. Verse 18. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Say that after me. Be filled with the Spirit. Say it again. Be filled. One more time. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. See, if you do that, you'll have more of Jesus. But in order to do that, you got to slow down. I know. That's just our ensemble getting together. They're coming back up to sing. But if you do that, the reality is that you'll trust God by doing less. Less of what doesn't really matter in order to be more. If you learn to stop, to slow down, to recognize the truth that busyness is a trap. Pastor Dave is fond of saying, using this acronym, that the word busy is also known as being under Satan's yoke, or his control, or his influence. That's what a yoke does. It controls or influences the object that it is attached to. But what I love about God is he is so merciful. He is so gracious to us. He brings us a message like this, not to put his thumb on us and say, oh, look at you, go sit down somewhere. No, he brings us a message like this, a message series like this, to say, hey, I got more for you. I'm actually interested in getting more to you. But you got to do less of you and do more of me. And then you will be more. So I want us to take just a few minutes. I'm going to come back and pray. But I want us to take a few minutes just to sing that verse about God's mercy. Just take a few moments to reflect on the mercy of God and the power of God and His desire to redeem us. Amen. Praise God.